Hello, Exopolitics listeners. I'm R.V. Romero, Stellar Artistic Director of Exopolitics Radio. I'd like to thank you all for listening to our show and for taking an interest in the evolution of our planet and our species through Exopolitics Radio and the study of law and order in the universe. For over a year now, I've enjoyed working closely with your elusive host, Alfred Weber, on this fine production that we're proud to broadcast on a weekly basis and post free of charge on our website. Currently, I'm happy to say that in the last 90 days, ExopoliticsRadio.com has been visited by people in over 56 countries and 492 cities around the globe, including all 50 states in the U.S. During that time, we've averaged over 5,000 podcast downloads per show, and we're adding listeners every week with affiliates at Paranormal Radio, the Revere Radio Network, and most recently, Kansas City Online Radio. Now, I'm telling you all this to give you an update on how our show is progressing, and also to let you know that indeed, the number of intelligent people here on Earth who are catching on to the fact that there are other intelligent life forms in the universe is growing. And Exopolitics Radio is proud to be on the cutting edge of this revelation by reporting news and providing the insight and perspectives that you can't find anywhere else on the radio, in the newspapers, or on the television. We want to continue bringing you Exopolitics Radio both online and on air free of charge, as we always have, because we believe in the message and the content. However, as a studio and production team, we do have routine expenses which must be maintained in order to do so. It pains us to ask, and I promise we won't do it often, but if every listener online donated $1 a month, that would completely cover our production costs for the show and the immense amount of time spent doing research, interviews, and production time given graciously by our host. Of course, not every listener is going to be able to donate $1 or donate on a monthly basis, so if you could consider donating a little bit more, that would be a tremendous help and allow us to continue adding more and more affiliates, creating new programs, interviews, and materials, and most importantly, continue broadcasting this message of hope and truth around the globe and the universe. So whatever the outcome, I can promise you that we will continue working to bring you a unique and sincere program week in and week out, 12 months a year. So we thank you for your support of Exopolitics Radio. Please remember to go to www.exopoliticsradio.com and click on the donate menu option for more information. Thank you very much, and now back to the show.
The views expressed on Exopolitics Radio with Alfred Weber are the views of Alfred Weber and not specifically those of our on-air affiliates or our sponsors.
I think that you're probably the most positive thing I've heard on the radio in a long time.
Well, welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio, a magazine format exopolitical public affairs talk show exploring the evidence and impact of intelligent, organized life in the universe on our human society. Exopolitics is the new political science of outer space, focusing on relations between human society and other intelligent societies. Our audio archives, which remain free and open to the public, are at www.exopoliticsradio.com. And I'm your ever-present host, Alfred Weber. And this week, folks, we'd like to welcome aboard Exopolitics Radio, the Revere Radio Network, which is now, we're very proud to say, is now carrying Exopolitics Radio on a weekly basis. They're at revereradio.net. And we'd like to welcome their up to 30,000 listeners. They will be carrying Exopolitics Radio every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So you can tune in to them at revereradio.net. Well, this week we start with a two-part program on, would you believe, extraterrestrials and world peace with our exopolitical commentator, Dr. Michael Sala of the Exopolitics Institute at Kona, Hawaii. And I thought that one of the best ways to start with this program is with an official Exopolitics Radio commentary on the subject of peaceful relations with extraterrestrial civilizations, and start by reading the Hawaii Declaration, which our stellar Exopolitics Radio director, R.V. Romero, started out today at a Hawaiian luau, he tells me. And a luau is a very good sort of festive way to approach, I think, upper dimensional, extraterrestrial, ethical civilizations who, by the literature and by their own communications to us, seem to be more concerned with the two L's. And the two L's are light, capital L, and love, capital L. Cosmic love, that's agape. So here I'm reading from the Hawaii Declaration on Peaceful Relations with Extraterrestrial Civilizations. And this was developed at the Extraterrestrial Civilizations and World Peace Conference in Kailua Kona, Hawaii, June 9th to 11th, 2006. We, the individuals and institutions participating and or supporting, are a body of concerned private citizens. Aren't we all private citizens, all 6 billion of us, 7 billion of us, who are promoting world peace and harmonious relations with extraterrestrial civilizations, recognizing the overwhelming evidence pointing to the presence of extraterrestrial civilizations and their generally peaceful interaction with individuals and governmental authorities. Inspired by the profound significance for humanity of sharing the wisdom, knowledge, culture, and technology provided by extraterrestrial civilizations of the advanced ultra-dimensional sort, asserting that extraterrestrial civilizations have been observing human evolution for some time with particular interest in humanity's quest for lasting peace amongst its peoples. Noting that extraterrestrial civilizations have indicated that the abolishment of nuclear weapons worldwide is a necessary milestone toward peaceful coexistence on Earth and as a prerequisite for open contact. Recalling United Nations resolutions concerning international cooperation in the peaceful exploration and use of outer space, banning atmospheric and underwater nuclear tests, and prescribing hostile acts on the moon and other celestial bodies. Recognizing a range of initiatives promoted by private citizens and citizens' organizations with regard to extraterrestrial civilizations visiting Earth. Intending for this declaration to be used as a starting point for a greater public dialogue with those holding similar or diverging perspectives and interests concerning extraterrestrial visitation, and using a consensual decision-making process among speakers, organizations, and participants. There were several hundred of us in a room over a long multi-hour process, and we came to this document, which I'm reading now. We all agreed to it, down to the very each word and each period, which is extraordinary. Honor the following principles for establishing peaceful relations with extraterrestrial civilizations. 1. We affirm the intent of humanity to join in peaceful and cooperative relations with extraterrestrial civilizations. 2. We affirm support for United Nations resolutions supporting the peaceful use of outer space and support for UN, international, and U.S. congressional initiatives to prevent an arms race in outer space, including the weaponization of space. 3. We affirm the natural right of all citizens to have open contact with representatives of extraterrestrial civilizations in all cases and to engage in non-official diplomacy. 4. We declare the need for civil society to develop acceptable protocols, in other words, standards of behavior, with extraterrestrial civilizations, that the protocols should be representative of the aspirations of all humanity, and that all nations should work in concert to establish peaceful relations. 5. Cooperate with extraterrestrial civilizations in promoting Earth, cosmic, and life-friendly technologies, encouraging the right use and open availability of these technologies. 6. Affirm our desire to coordinate the Earth's ecological health and biological diversity with extraterrestrial civilizations that can aid us in that endeavor. And 7, express our desire to welcome the open appearance of benevolent extraterrestrial civilizations. So welcome! We welcome the open appearance of benevolent extraterrestrial civilizations. Yep, that's as occurred on the night of March 13, 1997, when a 2-mile-wide spacecraft flew over Phoenix, Arizona, the home of our anchor station, KPHX, 1480 Progressive Radio, Nova M Network, 2-mile-wide spacecraft, which, according to our exopolitical experts, and you'll be hearing her within several weeks on our September 8th and our September 15th programs, Paula Harris, she's an expert in these matters, and those were extraterrestrial craft, benevolent extraterrestrial civilizations, just gliding right over downtown Phoenix and downtown Arizona. Now, let's read the honor roll here of the people who were present there, and along with several hundred people at the conference, these are the speakers who signed this declaration expressing our desire to welcome the open appearance of benevolent extraterrestrial civilizations. Michael E. Sala, PhD, convener, speaker. Angelica Whitecliff, co-organizer. Honorable Paul Hellyer, former Deputy Prime Minister of Canada, speaker. Thomas Hansen, PhD, speaker. Joan Ocean, Master of Science, speaker. Paula Harris, Master of Education, speaker. Alfred Weber, Juris Doctor, Master of Education, speaker. James Gilliland, speaker. Robert Salas, Captain U.S. Air Force, retired, speaker. Mary Rodwell, RN, speaker. Neil Freer, speaker. Scott Jones, PhD, speaker. Philip Corso, Jr., speaker. Daryl Anka, yep, that's Paul Anka's brother, folks, speaker. Wendell Stevens, Lieutenant Colonel, U.S. Air Force, retired, speaker. A New World If You Can Take It, Lieutenant Colonel Philip Corso. And so that was signed at Kailua Kona, Hawaii, June 11th, 2006. And you can find that online at the website of the Exopolitics Institute, which is at www.exopoliticsinstitute.org. Now, so that's the affirmation. It's like the founding fathers and mothers get together in Kona, Hawaii. Now, the day after that, folks, we all got in boats and we went out and we swam with the dolphins. You know that the dolphins, who are cetaceans, the dolphins and the whales are actually the most advanced consciousness on the planet. They just happen to be in cetacean bodies and don't have, you know, these opposable thumbs that we have. But from an extraterrestrial point of view, the dolphins and the whales are actually the most advanced consciousness on the planet. And Dr. John Lilly and other pioneers in the research of dolphin intelligence. Well, the day after this, we went out and swam with the dolphins, who are, in some sense, extraterrestrial ambassadors. And there's quite a literature of extraterrestrial motherships around the Hawaiian Islands that actually beam up entire dolphin pods and large whales into their motherships, where they're held in these colored tanks with lights, and there's a tremendous amount of information that's downloaded to them and from them, because it's the dolphins and the whales that are keeping the balance of consciousness on this planet from that rapacious, violent, fear-filled species known as Homo sapiens sapiens, or our fellow humanity. Well, we went swimming with the dolphins, and it's really something, because they come up right by you and you get this contact high, and they also engage in telepathic healing. So I would recommend for all of you, not only there in the Phoenix area, I know that, again, our stellar director, R.V. Romero, was out in the Pacific Ocean this weekend speaking on behalf of one of the presidential candidates. But I would urge any one of our listeners who would seek to have contact with an extraterrestrial species, well, just go on the internet and go swimming with the dolphins. Well, just a few weeks ago, then, following this Hawaii declaration just a few weeks ago at the beginning of August of 2007. I happened to be in Madison, Wisconsin, there at the Capitol, also the home of the University of Madison, University of Wisconsin, which is a center of progressive thought in the United States, still one of the centers of progressive thought in the United States. And I was attending there the 9/11 Scholars Conference, which was organized by a very courageous professor named Professor James Fetzer. Jim has written over 26 books going back to the Kennedy assassination days and is quite an enlightened person. And following the end of the conference, I was having breakfast with two of the guests there, and we were discussing the Hawaii Declaration because they had been at the Hawaii conference. And they had actually boiled it down to one sentence, and I'm going to read it here. "We the people assert our right to negotiate directly with extraterrestrials regarding all matters that affect the well-being of ourselves and our planet." Let me read it again. "We the people assert our right to negotiate directly with extraterrestrials regarding all matters that affect the well-being of ourselves and our planet." Now, why is that? Why are we asserting that right? Because for the past 60 years, that right, which is our cosmic right, has been abrogated by the U.S. government and essentially by what we can call the Anglo-American bloc, the U.K., the echelon bloc of countries, the NATO bloc of countries, the U.K., Canada, the U.S., Australia, New Zealand, that kind of white Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, you know, very anal, and I say that as a therapist, very anally oriented countries have, in fact, the U.S. has, in fact, maintained a top secret extraterrestrial human liaison program with one species of extraterrestrials since the late 1940s. And they were given technology under that, which they have misappropriated in order to maintain a competitive military intelligence edge and to assert military hegemony over the planet and wreak environmental havoc. But that wasn't the purpose under which they were initially approached with time travel teleportation technology, which was to relieve humanity of the burden of the petroleum nuclear civilization, which is clearly directed at suicide and omnicide and ecocide and genocide and species suicide on this planet. Now, because the U.S. government has, for the past 60 years, hidden this dark secret behind a bodyguard of lies, of pseudo-reports, where they have a $600 billion a year surface military budget and a $1.5 trillion a year black budget, which is devoted mainly to the development of these exotic weapons and to the maintenance of an outer space fleet based upon these advanced technologies like time travel, teleportation, and its misapplication in social and political control. Because of that, because they have forfeited any right under cosmic and universal law to represent our people and our planet before the Galactic Council, it is that we come with this petition, which I am now reading, to the Galactic Federation, which is the governance body of this planet. I am now reading it on the airwaves directly to the Galactic Federation. So this is an exercise not only of international law, but of galactic law, which I can say as an international lawyer and as a judge on an international war crimes tribunal, and as someone who has taught law in two universities. We the people assert our right to negotiate directly with extraterrestrials regarding all matters that affect the well-being of ourselves and our planet. And as they say in Spanish, our mother tongue, he dicho. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned for our interview, part one, with Dr. Michael Sala, our exopolitics commentator on extraterrestrial civilizations and world peace. Thank you. This is Exopolitics Radio, and I'm your host, Alfred Weber. And today we have our very special guest, our Exopolitics Radio commentator, Dr. Michael E. Sala of the Exopolitics Institute. Dr. Sala is a pioneer in the development of exopolitics, the scholarly study of the main actors, institutions, and processes associated with an extraterrestrial presence that is not acknowledged to the general public, elected officials, or the mass media. His groundbreaking book, Exopolitics, Political Implications of the Extraterrestrial Presence, presents the first scholarly framework for understanding the political implications of the extraterrestrial presence. Dr. Sala is an internationally recognized scholar in international politics, conflict resolution, and U.S. foreign policy, and is the author, editor of an additional four books, including The Hero's Journey Toward a Second American Century, Essays on Peace, Why the Cold War Ended, and Islamic Radicalism. He's also authored more than 70 articles, chapters, and book reviews on peace, ethnic conflict, and conflict resolution, and has held academic appointments in the School of International Service and the Center for Global Peace, American University in Washington, D.C., the Department of Political Science, Australian National University in Canberra, Australia, and the Elliott School of International Affairs, George Washington University. He has a Ph.D. in Government from the University of Queensland, Australia, and an M.A. in Philosophy from the University of Melbourne, Australia. Welcome, Michael.
Thanks for having me back, Alfred. It's really great that you've been doing these shows covering a lot of these exopolitics issues that are so important for people to entertain in their minds, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity to speak about some of the cutting-edge issues concerning extraterrestrial civilizations and world peace.
Excellent. That was exactly the subject that we thought we should address with you, Michael. The very subject of extraterrestrials, extraterrestrial civilizations, and world peace. We'll be right back after the break with Dr. Michael Sala on extraterrestrial civilizations and world peace. Please stay tuned. Thank you.
I'm so afraid.
I need to lose weight. I wish I could stop smoking.
I have so much stress.
I'm in pain.
Why am I sad?
I need to perform better.
I feel like there's no way out.
If you or someone you know needs help making healthy and significant life changes, they may benefit from hypnotherapy and life coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rebecca Hardcastle. Hypnosis uses the power of the subconscious mind for recovery and health. It strengthens your natural psychic abilities. As hypnotherapy removes blocks and clarifies your inner knowledge, it allows you to move forward. Coaching offers a practical framework which strengthens the life changes you desire.
To find out more regarding hypnotherapy, life coaching, exoconsciousness, and how to achieve an integrated, peaceful, healthy, and harmonious state of being, call Dr. Rebecca Hardcastle at 602-615-1485. That's 602-615-1485. Or log on to www.rebeccahardcastle.com.
This is your host, Alfred Weber. Would you like to download instantly the book Exopolitics by Alfred Weber that founded the field of exopolitics and was the cosmic trigger to a paradigm shift of opening to extraterrestrial civilizations? Would you like to download a CD-ROM of Exopolitics Radio Season 1 uncut version with interviews you have not heard on air? You can do so now by going right now to our website, www.exopoliticsradio.com, and downloading. There is no shipping, there is no waiting. Downloading the book, Exopolitics, Politics, Government, and Law in the Universe by Alfred Weber, and the CD-ROM, Exopolitics Radio Season 1 Uncut Version. You'll be helping yourself, Exopolitics, and Exopolitics Radio into Season 2. Thank you. Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio, and we are continuing with our interview with Dr. Michael Sala, our Exopolitics Radio commentator on extraterrestrial civilizations and world peace. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Thank you. As you and many out there in the listening audience may recall, and for those of you who don't know, the Exopolitics Institute and Dr. Sala in June of 2006 held a conference in Kona, Hawaii on extraterrestrial civilizations and world peace. A number of notable speakers were there, including the Honorable Paul Hillier, former Minister of Defense and Deputy Prime Minister of Canada. I had the privilege and opportunity to speak there as well, along with a number of other people. And out of that came a document called the Hawaii Declaration on Peaceful Relations with Extraterrestrial Civilizations. And we were talking about this earlier before the program and wondered, Michael, this could be a sort of a good jumping off point to begin to discuss for our listening audience exactly how extraterrestrial civilizations do contribute to the process of maintaining world peace. And I wondered if you could begin to talk about that.
Well, that's one of the issues that we need to really think deeply about. Exactly what does it mean for extraterrestrial civilizations to be visiting us, interacting with us in many different ways, and how does that contribute to world peace, and how can we enhance the process, because that is something that we fundamentally need to work towards. We need to develop ways in which we can not only promote peaceful relations among each other on the planet in terms of communities and nation states, but also in terms of those that are visiting us from other worlds, other galaxies even, who have incredible technologies and have ways to contribute to solving many of the problems we have on this planet. And certainly that was one of the main inspirations behind the idea of organizing a conference on extraterrestrial civilizations and world peace, was to explore ways that we could cooperate with extraterrestrials who are of a like mind with us in wanting to enhance and promote world peace. We think extraterrestrial civilizations are probably as diverse as humanity in terms of their varying motivations and activities around the galaxies and even those that visit us. But we think that, by and large, most extraterrestrial civilizations have a profound regard for peaceful relations, and that is something we want to work towards, because I think that is a common goal with extraterrestrials that are visiting the Earth and something that we as a planet need to cultivate.
Well, we a while back, you and I had a number of conversations regarding, for example, the way that certain extraterrestrial ambassadors reportedly met with U.S. President Dwight Eisenhower in February of 1954. and urged him to take a policy of abolishing the U.S. nuclear weapons program. So they have been particularly concerned about the issue of nuclear war, and there they took one specific step. Can you detail other steps around the nuclear issue that you're aware of in terms of your research that the extraterrestrials have taken?
Well, one of the speakers at last year's conference was Robert Salas, who was a captain with the Strategic Air Command back in the 1960s, and he described an incident where a UFO actually hovered over a Strategic Air Command facility that had 10 nuclear Minuteman missiles, and how the UFO deactivated at least 7, if not all, of those missiles. And not only were the missiles deactivated at that nuclear facility, but also a nearby Strategic Air Command facility also had its nuclear weapons deactivated. In this case, it was 10 nuclear missiles. So in both situations, you have a total of at least 17 nuclear-armed Minuteman missiles that were deactivated by UFOs. And this was something that had profound significance. And Captain Salas talked about the investigations that the U.S. Air Force conducted and how at a certain point the investigations were simply stopped, which, you know, flabbergasted him and other senior officials. But obviously there were those that were higher up in the chain of command that wanted to put a stop to the investigations because it was known quite well that extraterrestrial visitors were here and had a profound concern about the nuclear weapons issues. And there were other cases as well that have been reported. For example, Colonel Russ Dedrickson described how there were other cases of nuclear missiles being deactivated, and that even a test involving a nuclear weapon that was to be launched towards the moon and detonated on the moon, how that nuclear missile was actually destroyed by visiting extraterrestrials. So what we have here are examples of extraterrestrials intervening to deactivate and even destroy nuclear weapons that could cause profound damage not only on the Earth but also in outer space.
Well, what was the purported purpose of that detonating a nuclear weapon on the moon? I mean, by those who wanted to detonate that the nuclear weapon?
Well, I think there are probably multiple reasons here. Like, as you know, with the national security system, there is multiple reasons for doing things. I think on the one hand, it would be like the testing of nuclear weapons in the upper atmosphere. It would be to see what the effects would be, and here scientists might be wanting to see exactly what the effect of detonating a nuclear weapon in the vacuum of space or in the vacuum or the purported vacuum on the moon, see what the effect would be on the structure of the moon itself, be able to discern better what the interior of the moon is composed of if a nuclear weapon is detonated. And I think probably another reason that is maybe more significant is just the sheer ability to project power. I think, as you would probably agree, many in the national security system are really kind of very gung-ho about projecting their power wherever it's possible. And so if they know that there's a set of visitors from other solar systems or other galaxies that are using the moon as a base, if they were able to detonate a nuclear weapon on the moon, that would be a projection of power to basically say, to communicate that, look, you know, we know you're here, we know you have bases on the moon or use the moon in various ways, but be careful of us because we have nuclear weapons and we can detonate those and cause you significant casualties or damage. So I think there was that aspect to it as well.
Right, right. Now, some researchers, for example, Eric Julien and others, he's written a best-selling book in France, has detailed from the extraterrestrial point of view their concern about what nuclear weapons do, not only to humanity and to the Earth, but to the rest of the galactic and universal ecology. And I wondered if you could detail how the extraterrestrials view nuclear weapons and what their concern is?
Well, I think when we look at instances involving extraterrestrial contactee cases, many of those do talk about the profound concern that the extraterrestrials have. If we go back to the very beginning of the contactee movement, which involved George Adamski's meeting with this being called Orthon back in 1952, the very first conversation they had concerned the development of nuclear weapons. And it's interesting that the meeting with Orthon back in 1952 occurred only several weeks after the detonation of the very first hydrogen bomb back in November 1st of 1952. So just a couple of weeks after that, you have an extraterrestrial meeting with a contactee, George Adamski, saying how dangerous the detonation of these hydrogen bombs are, not only for humanity, but also for the visitors in outer space. And so there's the very first example we know of where an extraterrestrial has communicated that there is profound threat not only to humanity but also to extraterrestrial civilizations by the development and use of thermonuclear weapons such as the hydrogen bomb. And Eric Julian has continued that tradition of contactees communicating the profound concern extraterrestrials have with hydrogen bomb tests, and his book and his later most recent writings talk about the dangers of testing nuclear weapons and just how much energy we need to put into ensuring that these weapons are not used for aggressive purposes that may have profound implications for the rest of us.
Now, do you happen to recall exactly some of the aspects that Eric details that are the subjects of the concerns of the reported, rather, concerns of the extraterrestrials with regard to how human nuclear explosions and human activity with nuclear weapons can affect the rest of the cosmos, including the dimensions that they may inhabit?
Yes, definitely. Firstly, he observed the correlation between UFO sightings and nuclear testing, that he looked at some of the statistics of sightings and of nuclear tests and found that there was a correlation, that there happened to be an increase in sightings, especially in the vicinity of areas where the nuclear tests were occurring. Also significant was he found what he thinks is evidence of a correlation between UFO crash retrieval operations and nuclear weapon testing. So that's also a very important correlation that he was able to point out, that where we find UFOs crashing, that there is a correlation with nuclear weapons testing. Now, the relationship that was most important in his work was one concerning the use of time-space technology by extraterrestrials, that their technology, their propulsion systems is based on being able to distort the space-time continuum, and by doing so, they are able to navigate around the universe. Now, what happens with the detonation of a nuclear weapons is that you have a distortion of the space-time continuum because you have an enormous electromagnetic pulse, and what that does is it basically disrupts the time-space continuum. One of the things that has been suppressed in terms of the development of science is the relationship between gravity and electromagnetic energy. Originally, James Maxwell was able to see the correlation between electricity and magnetics. Previously, they were thought to be distinct and operated separately, but he recognized the relationship between them, and so now we understand that electromagnetic energy are related and that they operate in a perpendicular fashion upon one another. But there is no known relationship with gravity, but there is, however, a relationship that many of those who have been working on advanced technologies, for example, Thomas Townsend Brown, was able to identify the relationship between electricity and gravity. So what we know is that there is a relationship between electromagnetics and gravity that has been suppressed. So when you put that all together, what you have is that anything that creates an enormous electromagnetic pulse is going to disrupt the gravity fields. And Einstein did talk about, in his theory of general relativity, between the relationship between gravity and space-time. So there you have the connecting threads for an enormous electromagnetic pulse that will disrupt the time-space continuum. So this is the sort of thing that Eric Julian was working on, and it is of profound importance because basically thermonuclear weapons disrupt the space-time continuum, which is used for navigation and propulsion by extraterrestrial civilizations.
Now, when we say, we've been using the term extraterrestrial civilization sort of as a generic term. And in fact, there are different sorts of extraterrestrial civilizations that have and are now interacting with Earth. That is, the evidence that we have suggests that there are different sorts of extraterrestrial civilizations that are interacting now with Earth, and that each of these has a different intention with regard to what we can call world peace. What we would call world peace would be world peace from a human point of view, that is for the well-being of the human race, you know, and its relation to the rest of the cosmos. And when the extraterrestrials that met with Eisenhower, they were reportedly of a, quote, Nordic type, and urging him to abolish the U.S. nuclear weapons program. Do we know anything about the origin or type of the extraterrestrials that have similarly intervened to shut down ICBMs or intervene to stop nuclear weapons tests or nuclear weapons launches?
Well, that's a really interesting question. We do know that extraterrestrials, different categories of extraterrestrials, have expressed a concern over the nuclear weapons policies of the U.S. government and other nations of the Earth. In terms of the different categories of extraterrestrials, I think probably a good starting point for anyone that wants to learn about this is to read Robert Dean's testimony concerning the NATO document, the assessment, where he talks about four different extraterrestrial civilizations that NATO identified, and that these were two different categories of greys. One was a short grey, typically the sort of being that's seen in Roswell-type movies, the autopsy report and so forth. Then there's a tall grey, roughly 6 to 7 foot tall being, which is faceless but has grey pastel skin. Then there are the Nordic types, who basically look very human, almost indistinguishable from humans. And then finally there is a reptilian-looking extraterrestrial, also, again, very tall. And these are four different extraterrestrial civilizations that Robert Dean talked about. Now, I have not found any evidence that any of these civilizations are not concerned about the policies of the U.S. government, especially the military in terms of nuclear weapons. So they all may be candidates for intervening, but I do suspect that probably the Nordics probably take a more proactive role in disabling nuclear weapons, because they are the ones who appear to be predominantly outside of the secret agreements that have been reached. And this is something that I think maybe we could talk about at more length later, that secret agreements have been reached concerning resource exchange agreements between the U.S. secret government and some of these different extraterrestrial civilizations. And I think probably those agreements delineate which extraterrestrials can and can't visit the Earth or enter into the Earth space, and probably concern the development of advanced weapons. And extraterrestrials outside of those agreements, I suspect, are the ones that probably are more proactive when it comes to intervening and deactivating some of these more destructive technologies.
This is very interesting. We're going to come back with this, Michael. We've been with Dr. Michael Sala, our exopolitics commentator. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned. Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio, and we've been in our program, Part 1, Exopolitics, Extraterrestrial Civilizations, and World Peace with Dr. Michael Sala. And one of the things that we learned bringing this forward is that we the people have and must assert our right to negotiate directly with extraterrestrials regarding all matters that affect the well-being of ourselves and our planet, and we assert that directly to the Galactic Federation, which we know from replicable scientific evidence through remote viewing and other sources, which are exopolitic sources, are and may be the governance authority within this galaxy, you know, or some form of the governance authority within this galaxy. Now, why is it that it's important that we, the people, publicly assert our right to negotiate directly with extraterrestrials? Well, we've had some feedback from extraterrestrials, like the Pleiadians and others, reportedly, that these upper-dimensional extraterrestrials and the Galactic Federation, they are limited and restrained by a non-intervention ethic. That is, they cannot intervene with planets like ours unless the people stand up and say, hey, we're ready. And so that's why at a crisis time like this, it's important that a certain critical mass or quantum of humans become conscious and say, we, the people, assert our right to negotiate directly with extraterrestrials regarding all matters that affect the well-being of ourselves and our planet. We cannot all be somnambulant puppets of the permanent war economy. We, a quantum of us, have to awake. And the Galactic Federation are asking us to, so that then we can get around the non-intervention clause. Get it? Because this is a two-way tango. It's a two-way interactive universe. Exopolitics Radio is produced by Thinnest Productions in conjunction with 1480 KPHX, Progressive Talk Phoenix, and the Nova M Network. And we welcome the Revere Radio Network and its many listeners this week on at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, revereradio.net. Executive Producer Richard Romero Sr., Director Avi Romero, Producer and Editor Chris Romero, I am your ever-present and elusive host, Alfred Weber, wishing you a wonderful, miracle-filled, and assertive of your rights to the Galactic Federation day, week, and life. Thank you.